Since the 2011 census, sociologists have noted how even though religious affiliation, traditional religion and organized religion has been on the decline and on the wane, spirituality and interest in spirituality has been on the rise. Concepts like love and beauty and truth, the conscience, concepts that science can't explain, are continuing to draw people in to spirituality, to some sort of belief in a spiritual realm, the inner mind. And so we have meditation classes and Reiki classes and yoga and tarot cards and books like The Alchemist. And people are still looking for something more. Surely there's something more than just the daily grind of life. They might not be happy, sort of traditional religion, but still an interest in something more. But what is that more? What is a genuine spirituality? And that's not just a question that culture is asking today. That is a question that the church is asking today. If you're someone here who's a follower of Jesus Christ, well, we want an experience of God. But what is that? Now, we'd all love to belong to spirit-filled churches where we can serve and we can grow. But what does a spirit-filled church really look like? People ask, do you have the Spirit? Well, I think so. Well, how do we know for sure? You might have heard Christians talking about praying in the Spirit, being slain in the Spirit, experiencing the Spirit, powerful demonstrations of the Spirit. But how do we know what is real and what is fake? What is an authentic Christian spiritual experience? Well, that's part of what this new sermon series is about. It's entitled When the Advocate Comes. Now, 4 Sundays, we're looking at the person and work of the Holy Spirit and this question of what is a genuine spiritual experience so that we know it, so we're assured of it, so we're not taken in by wrong experiences. And what is striking about these verses from John's Gospel as Jesus in John begins now to teach his disciples about the Spirit, what is so striking about it is this tight, intimate link, connection between the Spirit and Jesus Christ himself. We're going to say a tight link between the Spirit and the presence of Jesus, the Spirit and truth about Jesus, the Spirit and obedience to Jesus. We're going to see authentic spiritual experiences rooted, founded, focused upon the person and work of Jesus Christ himself. So that's where we're going. Let's take a look at it now from the verses. First, the Spirit and the presence of Jesus. So look with me here at verse 18, page 1082. Verse 18 is very much the heart of the passage, the central verse, Jesus speaking here to his disciples in what's called the farewell discourse. And he says to them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, you think of an orphan, you think of someone who doesn't have a parent. No one to look after them. No one to provide for them. No one to guide them through life. Why is Jesus speaking like that to his disciples? Well, because Jesus has just told them in the previous chapter that he is going to leave them. Jesus is about to be betrayed, arrested, crucified for the sins of the world. This is their leader, their Messiah, the one they've been following for 3 years, the one they've given up everything for. And he's going, he's leaving them. How are we going to cope? What next? And Jesus can sense their fear. So he starts this section in verse 1 of chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And he says it again in verse 27. The close of this section, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not abandon. I will come to you. Now, here's the question. In what way does Jesus come to them? When does that happen? In one sense, he comes to them in his resurrection, after his resurrection, his appearance then. But that can't be what this verse is talking about because then he ascends to heaven and leaves them. So in what sense does he not leave them as orphans? Well, Jesus here is speaking and teaching about the Spirit. Verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you, we get this phrase, another advocate, another one like me, Jesus, the first advocate, the Spirit, another advocate to help you. That is what the word advocate in the original Greek means, someone who comes alongside to help you, a strengthener, a comforter, a counselor, another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. When the Spirit comes, I will come. He's another advocate, another one just like me. Now, if you'll forgive the impersonal illustration. I was playing squash the other day, just down the local sports club in Old Street. Now, squash, you know, is a racket sport played within four walls, and so you need to be careful not to go too close to the wall and not to whack your racket against the wall. I was playing this guy, he's very good, and he played a shot that went straight, sort of really close to the wall. It's called a wall hugger, and there I was thinking, do I hit it, do I not, do I leave it? It was a tight game, I wanted to win, I went for it, I thought I could do it, I didn't, my racket got completely smashed. It was very embarrassing. And I thought, well, that's it, game over. He said, don't worry, I've got another racket in my bag. I thought, great, we can carry on the game. But at the same time, I thought, well, another racket, it's probably a second-hand one. It's probably not very good. The strings are probably a bit wobbly. You know, I'll probably lose. I won't be able to play with it. He gets the racket out of his bag. Would you believe it is exactly the same make, model, strings, grip, color of my current racket? And it is brand new. And I beat him with it. That's great. Exactly the same. That is the sense of the word another here, another advocate, another one just like Jesus. This incredibly tight link between the Spirit and the presence of Jesus. And that's why he can say in verse 20, on that day, when the Spirit does come, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. This intimate, personal connection, relationship between Jesus Christ and every follower of him. When the Spirit comes, I will come. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Friends, I hope we see that the Holy Spirit, he is not a force that zaps you. He is a person who brings the presence of Jesus Christ himself into your life, into your heart, dwells in you, and you in him. I will be with you forever. Picked up my five-year-old son, Theo, from school last week. He says, Dad, where are you going to die? It's quite a specific question, but I'm a bit confused. Do you mean when are you going to die? He says, yeah, are you going to die when you're young or when you're old? I was quite impressed that he still thought I was young. I was thankful for that. I said, I don't know when I'm going to die, whether it'll be young or I'm old. God knows. He knows best. Theo wasn't happy with that answer. He says, the thing is, Dad, I don't want you, Daddy, to die young. I don't want you and Mummy to die young, because if you die young, I'll be left all alone and I won't have a Mummy or Daddy. And how will I cope? Now, at this point, you know, it's the sort of conversations every father wants. You get them, and then you're wondering what you're meant to say. I said, well, look, you know, if anything does happen to Mummy and Daddy, you know, Uncle Pete, Auntie Bet, they'll be your Mummy, Daddy, and they'll look after you. And at this point, Theo's face, like, lit up. And so I quickly prayed, look, let's pray that Mummy and Daddy don't die anytime soon. But the fact of the matter is, one day we will. And one day Theo will be left alone. But Jesus is saying in these verses that if you trust in him, you will never be alone. This then is one of the great privileges of being a follower of Jesus Christ. One of the most precious foretastes of that final day when we will see Jesus Christ face to face together in this perfect new world is a foretaste now of his Spirit with us, his loving presence. Every single day of our lives, whether it feels like it or not, the security that every Christian believer has that he will never leave us or forsake us. I'll be with you forever. People in this world may abandon us. Jesus never abandons his people. Here is a reassurance to his disciples then, to us today, that whatever we're going through now, and Jesus is about to speak about persecution from the world, whatever is going on, he is there with us. In the good times when we think we don't need him, in the bad times when we think he isn't there, he is. Now, no other human relationship can compare to this. No other spirituality speaks in such intimate, personal, reassuring terms of the creator and savior of the universe dwelling amongst every Christian believer. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will be with you forever. So that's the first thing to see from these verses, the Spirit and the truth about Jesus. Secondly, can we see here and notice the tight link also between the Spirit and the truth about Jesus? So Jesus describes the Spirit here in verse 17 as the Spirit of truth. And he repeats it a couple of other times in this section. The Spirit loves to lead people into truth. Here's the question, what truth? Well, just glance back to verse 6, where Jesus himself describes himself as the way and the truth and the life. What is the Spirit of truth? It is the truth about Jesus Christ. What is the truth that the Spirit loves to lead people in and teach people in and reveal to people? It is the truth about Jesus Christ. Many spiritualities in the world today, many claims to divine truth. Jesus, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, says there is only one Spirit of truth, only one authentic spirituality, that which is focused on himself. Jesus Christ, God in human form. Jesus Christ, the only one who can bring us to God through his death. This is the second thing Jesus wants us to see. What the Spirit is about. He's teaching people the truth about Jesus, revealing to people the truth about Jesus. Let me just show you a few more references just in this section that we'll be looking at over the next few weeks. We'll look at them in more detail the next few Sundays, but just briefly now so we can see this throughout. Verse 26 of chapter 14, top of 108:3. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, that's all things about me, and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Over the page, verse 26 at the top there of chapter 15. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, there it is again, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about who? About me. The Spirit loves to speak about Jesus Christ and show people who he is and what he has done in his life, in his sin-bearing death, in his resurrection from the grave. Verse 13 of chapter 16, bottom of 184. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak of what he hears, that is, from me, from Christ. And he will tell you what is yet to come about Christ's death and resurrection and ascension and return. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Now, can you see just this brief overview? The Spirit's absolute focus on Jesus Christ. Teaching the truth about him. Testifying to him, glorifying him, making him look great. And that is why people sometimes speak of the spotlight ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit putting the spotlight on Christ. It was my wife's birthday on Friday. We went to Sadler's Wells Theatre to see the Rambert Dance Company, contemporary dance, incredible dancers, incredible poise and strength and yet precision and grace. And in some of the individual performances, and when it's dark and you wouldn't be able to see the dancers, a spotlight comes upon one of the dancers. So you can see them. And so you can enjoy this breathtaking performance. And Jesus is saying that is what the Holy Spirit does, is he puts the spotlight on Jesus Christ so we can see him and enjoy him and appreciate all that he has done for us. Let me just push this a little bit more. Imagine I'm there on Friday night and the spotlight's on this dancer. He's doing this incredible performance. Instead of looking at him, I start sort of looking up and trying to find out where the spotlight guy is. And I try to, there he is. And yeah, and that's great. And isn't he doing a great job up there? And I would quite like to know him and see what he's doing. And it'd just be completely ridiculous to have it completely the wrong way around. Some words from Jim Packer in his excellent book, Keep in Step with the Spirit. The Spirit's message to us is never, look at me, listen to me, come to me, get to know me. The Spirit's message is always, look at him, see his glory, listen to him, hear his word, go to him, have life, get to know him, taste his gift of joy and peace. He goes on, the Spirit is the matchmaker, the celestial marriage broker whose role it is to bring us and Christ together and ensure that we stay together. That is his ministry, putting the spotlight on Christ. I remember when I first came to faith in Jesus Christ, this was at university. Well, for the first 22 years, you know, up to that point, I didn't have a care in the world about Jesus Christ. Then suddenly, I see him as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one who has died for me personally, who's risen from the grave, who's coming back to judge the world. What was that? How did that happen? That was the Spirit of truth at work in me. Why is it that up to that point I'd read the Bible, it was just like any other book, but now I read the Bible, I picked it up, oh my goodness, the words just jumped off the page. And it felt like God was speaking directly to me. That is the Spirit of truth, teaching me about Jesus, revealing Jesus to me. Why is it that when I pray now, I don't feel like I'm just sort of talking to the ceiling and by myself, but the Lord is there, and he hears, and he answers. That is the Spirit of truth at work in me. As a young Christian, I found myself quite confused about what genuine Christian experience was. There were a lot of Christians around talking about, or claiming to hear certain things from God, certain Christians claiming to be able to do quite impressive things in the name of God, and some people saying, yes, that's true, some people saying that's not true, and what was genuine and what was fake. If that's you, if you're someone here who's confused right now about what is genuine Christian experience, a genuine, authentic spiritual experience, well, look, Jesus here gives us a wonderful benchmark. Is the experience drawing you or someone else closer to Jesus Christ? Because that is what the Spirit loves to do. Is the experience drawing you closer to him in repentance and faith? Because that is what the Spirit loves to do. Is this experience drawing you or someone else, making you more aware of your sin, more aware of the reality of judgment, the need of forgiveness, an assurance of his love? Because that is what the Holy Spirit loves to do. The Spirit of truth, the truth about Christ, who he is, what he's done. And because the Spirit is described here as the Spirit of truth, well, we need to be careful not to draw a division between the Spirit and the Word of God. And I don't want to say too much on this because it's what we'll be looking at next Sunday, so do come back then. Suffice it to say now that there are some people who talk about Spirit-filled churches and Word-based churches. Spirit-filled churches on the one hand, Word-based churches on the other, as if they are separate things. But properly understood, properly practiced, as we're seeing here in John 14, is you cannot have one without the other. You cannot have one without the other because a Spirit-filled church will be a church filled with the truth about Jesus Christ, the truth which we hear and receive today from the Scriptures. So you might think you have a Spirit-filled church with what seems to be great experiences of God, but if there is no truth about Jesus Christ, or if there's no leading closer to Jesus Christ from that experience, it may be a wonderful experience, it may be emotionalism, it may be deception, it might be worse. But Jesus says it can't be a genuine spiritual experience because the Spirit's ministry is to put the spotlight on Jesus Christ. On the other hand, you might think you have a very Spirit-filled church because there's such a focus on God's Word and the truth about Jesus Christ. But if there is not a dependence on the Spirit to reveal that truth to you, to convict you of your sin, if it's not moving you to greater dependence on him, repentance, change, well, that is to lead to a cold, dry formalism. And again, not a genuine spiritual experience. We need to see the challenge probably for us, I say it for me, is our desperate need for the Spirit's work in our lives, in our hearts, convicting us daily of our sin, convicting us daily of our desperate need for Jesus Christ, his forgiveness, his transforming power, the reassurance of his love. the reality of his presence in our lives, that he is coming back for us, particularly in a world, verse 17, that cannot accept him, that neither sees him nor knows him, this desperate dependence on him. And if you want to look into that some more, I would recommend what Dan highlighted about the Bible Explored course. Tomorrow night, here, as it looks at the fall and sees where it all goes wrong in our relationship with God. So that's the second thing to see, the Spirit and the truth about Christ. Genuine Christian experience is an experience of the truth about him revealed to us today in the Bible. Thirdly and finally, let's look at the Spirit and obedience to Jesus Christ. Because it is quite striking that amidst all this talk of the presence of Jesus Christ and intimacy with him, this talk of love and truth, these verses are actually topped and tailed by an expectation of obedience to Jesus Christ. Did you see that in verse 15? If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commands. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them, they are the one who loves me. I think there's a challenge here and there's an assurance here. The challenge here is that genuine love for Jesus will result in keeping his commands. Like his command to believe him in verse 1 of chapter 14, like the new command he gives the disciples in verse 34 of chapter 13, to love one another as I have loved you. In other words, we may talk about the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives, an intimacy with him, and a deep love that you have for him. But if this love is not being worked out in genuine love for others, keeping his commands, then we need to question how genuine that love is. A genuine spiritual experience will not only lead us closer to Jesus in appreciation for all that he is for us, but it will also lead to increasing lives of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So there's the challenge here. But there is also a reassurance here. Because Jesus asked the Father to send the Spirit, who is a helper, who helps us to keep those very commands. The fruit of the Spirit that I just listed is the fruit of the Spirit. Because he is the one who plants the new life of Christ within us, which produces the fruit of Christ's likeness in our lives. How does he do it? As we're convicted of our sin, as we're drawn closer to Jesus Christ and his love for us, so that love transforms us and it works its way out in obedience to him. In verse 15, the original Greek, it's actually a future tense. If you love me, you will keep my commands. And look at the wonderful promise. We're going to finish there in verse 21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. In other words, the more we're living for Jesus, loving him, obeying him, the more we will get to know him. There's this wonderful sort of upward spiral. That the more we love Jesus and obey his commands, the more he shows himself to us, the more we love him, the more we obey his commands, the more he shows himself, and up it goes. Now, just to be clear here, Jesus is not saying that he loves some of us more than others. No, he loves each of us equally. We know that in the death of Jesus Christ, John 3:16. But Jesus is calling each of us to a deeper fellowship with him. I have 3 children. I love them all equally. If one of them is naughty or disobedient, they are disciplined. They are told off. They go on the naughty step. If they continue to be naughty and disobedient, they continue to be disciplined. I still love them. You know, discipline is part of love. I would love to draw them into closer fellowship with me and love me more and obey me more. But if they don't, well, you know, there will be a slight break in the fellowship. Maybe I don't trust them with certain things or give them certain responsibilities. But there's always forgiveness. I'm always calling them to love, obey, grow together as a member of the Jackson family under God. God loves each of us the same. as Christian believer. He is calling us into deeper fellowship with him. And so, let us live by the Spirit, as Paul says to Galatians. Let us immerse ourselves in the truth about Christ here in Scripture. Let us depend on the Spirit. Please teach me about Jesus Christ. Father God, please, by your Spirit, help me to believe these truths, Spirit. Believe what you say about me here and about my sin and my need for you and what you call me to do. That is how we grow as Christians. The Spirit in the presence of Christ, the Spirit in the truth about Christ, the Spirit and obedience to Christ. This is genuine spiritual experience. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for what you've shown to us from these verses, that in sending your Spirit, you bring the very presence of Christ into our lives for those that believe in Jesus Christ. Thank you that your Spirit shows us the truth about Jesus, makes him real to us, draws us closer to him. Thank you that it's your Spirit that helps us to be obedient to him. So would you help us to live by the Spirit and be transformed by you? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.